Good evening, everyone, and thank you for listening to Lakeshore Public Radio, found on the dial at 89.1 FM and streaming worldwide in real time at lakeshorepublicradio.org. I'm Tom Lounges, and that means it's time for Midwest Beat, a program all about music and the people who make it. Well, tonight I've got a guest live in studio. Yay! We finally got guests back in the studio. Of course, we are practicing social distancing, and my guest is wearing his mask, looking very much like Ben Casey or Dr. Kildare or whatever. I'm Lounges, and we will talk to Robbie Celestin, and I know you know that name because he's been part of the Chicagoland music scene for many, many, many years. And we're going to rehash a little bit about his career and where he's going now. Stay with us. It's all happening on Midwest Beat after your headlines. Good evening. Welcome back to Midwest Beat here on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM, and streaming worldwide in real time at lakeshorepublicmedia.org. I'm Tom Lounges. Midwest Beat is a program all about music and the people who make it. The gentleman that I have with me live in the studio will be talking about his career that spans decades here in Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland. He comes from a musical family. It's DNA in his roots. And he is not stopping anytime soon. In fact, he's got a new project. We're going to talk about that as well as some of the early stuff he has done. And I know you've seen him. If you've been in the bar scene in the last 20, 25 years, he's been around. Well, it was maybe 20 years. Something like that. Yeah. We're all getting old. Who knows? But we're going to go back right now to a band that was at one time one of the most popular bands in the nightclub scene here in Northwest Indiana, and they played throughout the Midwest. We're going to go back to 2001, and the only album that I know of by a band called Timepiece. Now, the gentleman you're going to hear is the lead singer and co-wrote this song. It's Peace of Mind, Timepiece. Robbie Celestin joins us after this.
Oh, let me reflect with intent to dwell on the laughing face and the lurky smell of defeat to face and the fear of your fellow men. I need deadbolt locks and a can of gray to keep man-sized bugs out the home I've made, because I'm living on gigs and I've only got one fan. And all we of mind, when all we reach for, we never find. It's so easy to wish and tell, 'cause dreams aren't handy to buy and sell. It's a tale of starts without a stop, about a boy who hung in a coffee shop, wishing he were on a TV show about friends. But they never showed, and he only liked, he guessed that I said, I what will be, will be. So he rolled. Eyes, it's just another dead end, and all we want is peace of mind, when all we reach for, we never find. It's so easy to wish and tell, 'cause dreams aren't handy to buy and sell. Life's a great big gulp, not a simple sip. You're a mother of six or a man who left his heart home. You can run through life and not get far with mistakes, mishaps, and an ugly car. Gotta get my body where I let my subconscious roam. And all we want is peace of mind, when all we reach for, we never find. It's so easy to wish and tell, dreams aren't handy to buy and sell.
All the way on,
oh, we want. Peace of mind.
Peace of mind.
No, we reach for.
Never find.
I'll never find.
So easy.
Wish and tell.
Dreams aren't
handy. Oh, no, oh, no.
To buy and sell.
Dreams aren't for sale.
Peace of Mind, that's coming at you off the Rhythmic Pictures album from 2001. Hard to believe it was 19 years ago.
Jeez, time flies.
It does. Time flies. And up until just like a week ago, timepiece still was hovering. The ghost wouldn't give up. You still had timepiece unplugged.
That's right.
You know, he just couldn't let go.
Jesse Hernandez, who not many people know, you know, he wasn't a founding member of timepiece.
And I always thought he was.
Yeah, but when he did join, that was kind of timepiece version 2.0. There were maybe six or seven versions, but that 2.0 was the version that hit, and that was the version that you heard many, many years ago mm-hmm. for the first time.
And that's what's on this album.
Yeah, and it's funny that I think Jesse, more than any of us, was really able to utilize the name, because after we quit, I always teased him. He had, you know, Timepiece Unplugged. That was actually my idea back in the day. I wanted to do something different, mm-hmm. and it made so many people angry when we first started doing it, because the regular band thought, well, I don't get this at all. Not all of us are in it. And then the crowd thought, well, this isn't timepiece.
Right. So I remember because yeah. I was doing the beat, and it was hard to market you because people would come thinking it was timepiece.
Yes.
And then they'd say, well, this is good, but it's not what we came for.
Right. I have no idea. I think I had to – it's funny. I think I was comfortable hiding behind the name instead of – I should have just been Robbie Celeste Unplugged. It would have saved me so many headaches. Mm-hmm. But those first 2 years were tough. It was tough. And it ended up having to turn into its own identity anyway to succeed. Mm-hmm. And then we started succeeding after that. But Jesse had like bits of timepiece and, you know, cousins of timepiece and timepieces. Pieces of time.
He
knew how to use the name, which was good. But
It's great because this album, you just heard it. The musicians on this were incredible. Every era of timepiece had incredible musicians. A lot of people look at you and say, you were the voice, you were the face. But when you look and break down the different incarnations, you've always had top shelf musicians yeah. around you. And that, as a singer, that makes you shine.
Huge.
And Jesse's always been right there with the rhythms. And he's still out there making music.
Yeah.
He's got multiple bands out. Tracy, who's playing drums, is now with Nicole Jamrose.
Tracy should be famous to this day. You know,
she's a monster drummer.
To this day. You know, you can't market that. When Tracy joined, I don't more than any other member we ever had after the original, our marketability, just we've never seen that jump. And we've had, you know, I think CeCe, our bass player, was great. Mary mm-hmm. Mastika, obviously fantastic. But we never saw the jump in fandom more so than after Tracy joined. They thought, I think a lot of people couldn't believe that somebody so attractive could play mm-hmm. so well. A lot of people wanted to think we just put a pretty face
pretty
up
face
there.
There.
And once they heard her play.
I love that about her yeah. is that a lot of people say, oh, you know, everyone has to have the girl in the band.
Right.
And Tracy will outsmoke almost every male drummer out there.
It's true. It's true.
And she looks great doing it.
Yes.
So, I mean, there you go.
And then going back to Jesse, you know, the thing about Jesse is when he joined, that's when the band got more serious. And I needed Jesse because I had these grand ideas. And Jesse had really, he'd been in a successful band. I was doing the a cappella thing, so mm-hmm. I hadn't really touched the band world in a few years. So he had an inside scoop on what was happening because he was with Sounds of Santana, who were doing great
right.
at the time.
Also still out there.
So him and I kind of became, you know, these co-managers of Timepiece. And during all the incarnations, it was really Jesse and I that sort of held it together mm-hmm. during all seven versions.
Right.
You know?
When I think of timepiece, I think of you and Jesse.
Yeah.
I mean, I always think of Mary as well, Mastika.
Right.
And I think, of course, of Tracy. And the version we heard here had Art Lopez on bass.
Who played bass for the Enchanters.
He was also for a while with Los Cordoba, wasn't
yep.
he?
And Together, I believe.
Yeah. Your dad is on here as well. And let's start in the beginning. Your dad was a local celebrity with the Enchanters. The Enchanters were a huge band in the harbor in East Chicago, South Chicago.
Yeah.
The Enchanters, were they signed or were they on the cusp of signing?
I think the first time they went for it, they got signed to Atlantic Records.
That's what I thought, but
crazy.
I wasn't sure. Yeah.
The first thing, they did a local 45 for Steel Town Records.
The Jackson's label.
Yeah, right out here.
Because weren't they like
yeah.
friendly rivals, the Jackson
yes.
5 and the Enchanters?
Yeah, so they did a couple of shows. It's weird. We all these years we've been talking about the one show they did that everyone talks about, but I didn't realize till later that they'd performed a couple of times together. So they were bouncing around, you know. But, yeah, then they got the call to to try for a bigger label, and they got it right out the gate. But back then, they were just taking random South Chicago bands, doing one single, and if the single didn't blow up, well, let's try to find someone else.
Right.
And the single, unfortunately, didn't blow up. But it was a great song called The Struggler. However, the first thing they did on Steeltown Records out of Gary, that's the one that still plays all over Europe. You could YouTube it, Google it, The Enchanters, No One in This World, and it's still, you know, they don't get a dime from it.
Right.
But it's still on all of these compilations. So that's
cool.
Yeah, that's turned into a thing, which is really cool. Yeah. I hear there's a book coming out about Latin soul bands, and they're going to be a big part of that book.
So how important was being Robert Celestin's son in guiding you into music? I mean, obviously the DNA is there. The seed has not fallen far. Your dad has been active most of his life. You have been singing since you were a kid. Do you think you'd have pursued this if it hadn't been for your dad's success? And did he encourage, did he tell you to get a real job, not to do this? I mean, a lot of musicians, they struggle.
Yeah.
And they never quite get that brass ring. And they say, you know, we've struggled. We've worked too hard. It's too hard to feed a family. Robbie, get a real job.
Right.
Be a banker. Be a lawyer. Be a doctor. Do anything, but don't sing. You know, what was it like being his son?
You know, he loved singing so much, and that's all. He never tried to encourage any of us to do it. He just loved it so much, and I happened to be the first kid that just gravitated toward his love, and he played the music all over the house, the old 60s stuff, and nobody, until later years when my brother Paul was born, but myself and my older sister, she just never really cared about it, and I loved it, and I heard them sing once a cappella. They gathered 10 years after they'd been together, the Enchanters did, and it was the most beautiful thing I'd ever heard, and I thought, I want to do that. You know, but yeah, I'm doing something else. If it's not for him and for my mother, I'm doing something else. I don't know what it is.
Right.
Not at all, but I'm doing something else because they inspired me. And then when I started to learn how to sing, it was watching him reform the group, and they went so slow. Like right now, I would have went nuts with it. But at the time, watching a piece by piece a band get put together, it inspired the heck out of me. But what's funny was when I first started singing, he wouldn't encourage me at all. He would just, whatever. Would you just keep it down. He would say, keep it down. And his best friend, a guy named Beto, Lucio Barajas, who was in the Enchanters and ended up fronting together for a long time, he became my mentor. He could see a little something. He saw before my dad did that I had the love. So he brought me up, taught me the basics, and then I went out and kind of explored the world on my own. And then when I came back to my dad's world as an adult, his cohorts were saying, let's have Robbie sing in this new band we're going to form. Mm-hmm. So then Timepiece was formed. Once I was in Timepiece, then it changed everything. So he inspired me more by example. And then in Timepiece, he embraced me as a singer.
Before Timepiece, you were talking about seeing the Enchanters sing a cappella. You found local success with a childhood friend, David Blix,
right,
in 5 o'clock Shadow. And I remember seeing 5 o'clock Shadow and hearing about 5 o'clock Shadow. I want to say it was Henry Farag or one of those guys that told me about 5 o'clock Shadow.
Oh, okay.
It was either Omar or Henry or someone, maybe Charlie Blum. Somebody told me because they knew I liked doo-wop. And they said, there's a great a cappella band. But I didn't put you together with Timepiece until years later that it was the same young kid. But 5 o'clock Shadow, how old were you when you guys did
geez,
that?
I was...
And doo-wop was not in style then.
No.
This was way before Jersey Boys.
Right. I was in college, and I never did choir in college because I was getting that homeschooled kind of, you know, singing from my dad and his friends. So then in college, I thought, well, I should do some sort of formalized training. So I started taking a music course, and I started singing with a jazz ensemble. And I just wanted to do something different, so I grabbed one of the singers, a guy named Jason Andrews, who people know from Echoes of Pompeii.
Right, and Mr. Funny Man.
And Mr. Funny Man. Now, Jason and I shared a love for the oldies, so we talked about some doo-wop, and then I found another guy, Mike Aponte, who'd been in an a cappella group called the Harbor Lights, before the current Harbor Lights. And then Dave Blixt, I grew up with. We learned to sing together. We were in our first band ever together. I knew he was solid, so we formed 5 o'clock Shadow as just a fun little gig. We didn't even know if it would make money. And then Mr. George Carl heard about it, came to a rehearsal
of the Harbor Lights Now.
And then he set us right and said, you can make money doing this. And the best thing he ever did was leave, because he got us ready. We did a show with him, and because he was in his 50s and we weren't even legal yet, he felt funny and left. And it broke our hearts when he left. But when he left, we realized, well, we don't know what the rules are of a cappella.
Right.
As soon as we realized that we didn't know what the rules were, we didn't bother with the rules. So we started doing Sgt. Pepper's a cappella with the horn parts. And Bohemian Rhapsody ended up being the big closer a cappella.
Wow. Yeah,
and when we started doing that, next thing you knew, we were like opening up for Survivor and ELO and Little River Band and all these other, mm-hmm. you know. So 5 o'clock Shadow was huge.
And that was at the yeah. Lake County Fairground.
Right. That one huge concert with all yes
with ELO
yes.
Little River Band
yeah.
It was a Star Productions. I was your host.
Oh man, how about that?
We had Allison's Mailbox, Enough's Enough. They were all part of the. It was a 2-day event.
That was an amazing show.
Yeah.
Amazing show.
I think that might have been when I first heard you sing.
Mm.
But
probably
again, not realizing years later when I found Timepiece that it was the same kid.
It's funny that act put me on the map in a whole different way, and that got us a lot of press, and it became a big festival attraction. You know, and then Timepiece. I've had a lucky run with.
And you also were for a while in Stormy Weather.
Yes,
right?
Yes, I toured with them. Toured with them,
and you played different parts of the world.
Right, and yeah, we were. We did a USO tour. My first ever USO tour. Went out to Sarajevo and Kosovo and all along the Balkans. It was, yeah. Henry's taken me some pretty cool places.
Were you with them when they played the White House?
Yes, absolutely.
So you got to play at the White House.
Yeah, and that was cool. And you know what's interesting? When you play the White House, you get to see, you know, the side entrance of the White House. You see the places that not the tourists don't all see, including mm-hmm. just the regular coffee room that looks like anybody's dingy basement. And then you walk in and it's grand. And that was my favorite part, was seeing the dingy coffee room. Well, this could be my Uncle Tony's place. You know, this is nothing. Yeah, very cool. But it's funny how you come back and it all just bleeds into one another. You know, if I'm not learning how to sing that way with Dave Blixt and increasing, you know, my speed level with harmonies, then I'm never getting that quickly through Timepiece. And then Dave Blixt joins Timepiece and helps put it on the map. And Dave mm-hmm. Blixt and I wrote so many songs together. We were trying to get the deal. Dave Blixt
right.
and I came close to a Capitol Records deal and a lot
and
of
he's still things. Out there doing
he's
it. It just goes to show not only talented players, but the passion all of you shared, that you've all continued to pursue it in different projects.
Yeah.
Dave just put out a great video recently
he
that he shot in a local bar, and he sent me this thing, and I'm like, holy cow.
Right?
This is cool. It was a great song. It was different for him.
Yes.
I'm used to him doing the acoustic a cappella vocal up front, but he was ripping on the guitar.
And he went dance
yeah.
craze on it.
Dance.
It sounds like a modern hit. That's yeah. The thing about Dave is, because he comes from that Timepiece world, the 5 o'clock Shadow world, two things that really impressed me about Dave is, to this day, he's still, people, you may not realize this, but you will if you go see five other acts and then see Dave. He's one of the best singers out there right now, and we're surrounded by some amazing vocalists. He's in the top three that are out there. People don't know that. And the other thing is, he's a great writer himself. You know?
Right.
You know,
he co-wrote a lot of this music that we're hearing tonight.
Absolutely. Every CD I've ever done, I needed to have some piece of Dave in there. You know, and there's has to be. It just has to happen, because he's you know, I don't get where I am without him either in my life. He's a brother and a
Well,
talent.
You dedicated a special thanks to him on this record. 1997, you stepped out with your first Robbie Celestin album, Every Little Thing. And Dave wrote some songs on here with you. Let's go back to that album and play that for the listeners here at Lakeshore. And what song would you like to play?
Well, you know what? If we're talking about Dave, can we play a song called Wouldn't It Be Nice on the track there? That's actually, it's funny. I love this song on the Voice Prince CD that I did. There's a duet with my wife on Voice Prince. But if I had to admit, my favorite all-time duet is the duet I sang with Mr. Dave Blixt called Wouldn't It Be Nice.
All right.
I'm giving you a curveball. I don't think I brought that one up to you, engineer.
Yeah. So we're going to play this now. Again, my guest is Robbie Celestin. He is the voice that you're hearing on Lakeshore.
Walk the sands with you, girl, in my arms. to tell you you're the only one in my life. In my life. Oh, wouldn't it be nice to have you in my arms? Wouldn't it be nice to tell you?
Wouldn't it be nice? In fact, it is nice to hear that song going back to 1997. Two young guns, two young Turks in the rock and roll business. David Blix and my guest, Robbie Celestin. Wouldn't it be nice? A song they co-wrote. I was just thinking as we listened to that, it kind of reminds me if you took Pablo Cruz and you threw him in a blender with Hall & Oates, it would sound something like that. The harmonies with that certain edge that Pablo Cruz had that made them so smooth. That's a smooth song.
It's so funny because Dave and I randomly did a duo show, maybe two of them, here in Northwest Indiana, and there's something about his presence because we learned how to sing together.
Mm-hmm.
There's just a connection, and there's a way that we harmonize that it's unlike anyone else I sing with. And I've sang with, in my opinion, the best singers in the Chicagoland area.
Right.
But there's just something different that happens when I sing with him. To this day, it only happens with Dave. We're just locked.
And you've known each other since what, fifth grade,
No, we were 6 years old.
My gosh.
First grade? Yeah.
Were you like neighbors?
We just went to grade school together, and interestingly, he grew up in the harbor, and you know, and I grew up in East Chicago, and we both went to, you know, Holy Trinity grade school.
Wow.
With our little clip-on ties. And yeah, and I forced him into the, you took guitar lessons, learn a song, let's get together, come spend the night. He spent the night. We were 16. He learned You're Mine, or We Belong Together by Richie Valens.
Mm-hmm.
And we sang that together, and then the rest is history.
Wow.
Him and I wrote R&B tunes, we wrote pop tunes, we went through a rock phase because he was big into, I wouldn't remember who it is, but him and I ended up doing a rock show at the Thirsty Whale. Do you remember that
show?
Yeah, so I've had so many different...
And you had to be pretty rock to play there.
Yes, we had a harder...
They'd have eaten you up if you'd have played soft stuff.
We played so many different styles and you know, Jane's Addiction. He was on Jane's Addiction kick.
Wow.
You know, because we were in a group called Too Much.
Jane says!
Yeah. So Dave decided, let's go this direction. And yeah, so much stuff that hasn't been... recorded, which oddly enough, now that he knows I'm going to try some different things, he was asking about jumping back into the old catalog. Mm-hmm. and bringing some of that.
We're going to talk about that in just a few minutes. One of the stories I want to get to, you just mentioned about R&B and pop and stuff. When I think of Robbie Celestin, when I write about Robbie Celestin, I almost always, and maybe I'm wrong, I default back to a great R&B singer. To me, you are the local Marvin Gaye. You're the local John Legend. I mean, you are smooth. You've got pizzazz. You've got charisma. You've got the hat, you know, that is part of your show. I mean, you emanate cool when you're on stage.
I appreciate it.
I always think of the best R&B singers, the Vandrosses, and I hear you sing, and you can, in my opinion, you are on that same level in delivery and in passion and in performance. I don't think of you as just a singer. I think of you as an entertainer in the grandest fashion. Am I doing you a disservice by thinking of you as R&B? Because here you are doing pop and rock and other stuff, and I never think of you as that.
Yeah, it's weird. I think I'm so happy that my parents didn't just say, listen, here's what you're listening to. Everything else stinks, you
mm-hmm.
know? They loved the old soul stuff, and that's where my heart is, you know? Dave Carl, who we all know.
Right.
We always laugh about the fact that there's a certain basic four-chord progression in every old soul song, and as soon as we jump into any of that, I'm a sucker for it. If anybody writes that stuff, and that's always going to be where my heart is, and it's my favorite style to sing. But then I'm a big Beatles fan, you know. I think next to the Temptations and Hall & Oates, I've seen Van Halen more live than anyone else in my life. You know, so
wow.
I'm very eclectic, you know. I love David Lee Roth's performance style, mm-hmm. so I used to take from that a little bit. You know, I wanted to jump around and do a lot of that kind of thing. But then I loved Sammy Hagar's voice.
Right.
You know, so I think what I've come to learn is that I love my sweet spot. You know,
right.
if somebody's best dish is spaghetti, my sweet spot's the soul stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But man, give me a good rock show any day. You know, I love it all. And what I've come to learn is that I'd rather just make this amalgam of myself. And I think I'm just this mixture now.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you listen, even to Voice Prints, you know, it's a very schizophrenic CD, you know. And people ask me about that. You know, stylistically, there's kind of a rock tune or a pop tune and a soul tune and a jazz tune. And I thought, well, that's me. So mm-hmm. the common thread.
The many flavors of Robbie.
The common thread is it's me.
Right.
And it's not me trying to do my, a soul tune, or it's me doing what I love and I'm just being me. The way I look at it is I think I musically like wearing a lot of different outfits, mm-hmm. you know, and who knows what you're going to wear tomorrow. Does that make sense? I don't know if that's even a good...
Voice Prints came out how long ago? That's been a while, too.
Oh, yeah, that's been a while, too. Geez, I don't even remember the year at this point. And oddly enough, the first CD being Every Little Thing taught me how to just be an artist, a solo artist,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then the Timepiece CD taught me how to be a producer. And then Voice Prints, it just all came together, you know,
okay.
which was really
that was
cool.
Self-produced Voice Prints?
Yeah, that was
We're
going
to get to a cut in a few minutes on that. So why the delay in releasing another one? I know you've been very busy. You're in a group called Final Say that is working incessantly. I mean, it's like constantly. You're doing corporate parties, big festivals, things like that.
Yeah.
I know it's financially satisfying. I know you're playing with great musicians, including Dave Carl.
Right.
But what does that do to Robbie Celestin, the songwriter, the producer? I mean, do you feel like you have to take a back seat to yourself?
Yeah, it was really hard because it wasn't long after the CD came out and did really well that Final Say came a-calling.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the biggest choice. I think I was on ABC News being featured because I did something at Market Days out there. And then I was in some documentary about Market Days on PBS. It was a huge – things were happening, but I'd been through it enough. I could tell everything wasn't going to happen. And as soon as I finally noticed that and realized, okay, as far as swinging for the fences as an artist goes, I think I'm ready to – I want to be secure. I want to stay put. I want some security, and I want to still hone my craft. And then when the Final Say call came, this is – okay, wait a minute. You're professional? Everybody involved is professional. I'm dealing with some of the best singers, musicians, and then I'm traveling the world. Oh, and you're letting me do my song stylings of these songs. You're not making me do carbon copies. When I saw all that freedom, I took it. Because after a while, Timepiece, I loved them to death, but they all had regular jobs.
Right.
So anytime something almost bigger happened, or anytime I wanted to kind of pursue more of an original idea, it didn't go well, you know.
Right.
So I thought, well, Timepiece is kind of becoming corporate, only we're not making the money because we're not corporate
and
yet.
And Final Say is professional musicians.
Right.
That's what they do.
Yeah, so, and I don't get Final Say if there's no Timepiece, you know.
Right.
But it became time for me to, I wanted to get a straight job, but I wanted to love what I do, and that's what Final Say is, you know. But the funny thing is, there's a guy named Taylor Mallory who's always releasing stuff, and he's on commercials, and, you know, He's in the same company I work with, and he's in one of the cover bands. Sings with Lauren Dukes. He's in Spoken For. He says, you know, this cover band thing, you know, if you hone the craft and you just keep expressing yourself and you're just finding new tricks. And I think about the fact that how that pertains to me. When I was singing Can't Stop the Feeling a million times and then found a little vocal riff that I started making up. It was mine. It wasn't in that song. And I was honing it and practicing it at, you know, all the weddings and corporate shows.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went and did a show in Chicago with my original band. And I remember this move I came up with based on Can't Stop the Feeling. I put it into my song. And my guitarist, Chris Siebel, turns to me, oh, that move, where did that come from, man? That was a good one. And I said, can't stop the feeling. You know, so if you don't shut it out as an artist, if you realize that you're just honing the craft. I mentioned this to Jesse Hernandez, our cohort, not too long ago. I said, you know, I'm starting to realize that there's no bad or good. You know, if you care about the craft, mm-hmm. then everything's an exercise. So vocally, I've been exercising my talents as an original singer. But as far as writing goes, you were right. It is all Final Say's fault.
Right.
The time. I did not have the time. And then being a father and right. a husband, too, it kind of takes away. So this climate, the COVID thing, gave me a breath.
So you have a new outlook.
Yeah.
You've been sheltering in place now for several weeks, like so many of us, and that means Final Say was put on the back burner because
yes.
nobody was playing. Right. So you're stuck at home. You've got musical stuff there. Your wife's a singer.
Right.
And she encourages you.
Yes.
And so now Robbie's at home with his toys saying, I'm going to do something. And then you reached out to me and says, I'd like to do this new project. I've been writing songs. I was under the impression it was an original project, but you're kind of blending all the elements of Robbie once again.
Yeah.
Now, you have the Robbie Celestin Band, which is a vehicle for your original songs,
right.
correct? It's pretty much 90% originals.
Absolutely.
Final Say is all cover. So you got two full-time bands. So there's the Robbie Celestin Band, and now you have this project called Robbie Celestin,
right.
which is very confusing because you got Robbie Celestin Band and Robbie Celestin, which is not just you and a guitar or you and a microphone. It's you and friends.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the difference?
Yeah,
how are you doing this? Because you're confusing people. Change your name.
It's weird. The word band seems to perfect that or my original following, which is good. So they seem to know. And I know a lot of people call it the RCB, which is mm-hmm. cool. That's fine. I haven't made that change. But I noticed when they see Robbie Celestin Band, there's a very specific audience that goes to that, you know, and quite a few people from the Midwest, which is great, and a lot of them don't even know Final Say or anything,
mm-hmm.
but the Northwest Indiana, which doesn't really allow much for my Robbie Celestin Band to show up anyway, you know, eventually, I'm probably going to bug you, I'll get on one of these festivals.
We'll get on one of these
yeah.
for you, yeah.
But they know me as Robbie Celestin, and I've come to realize that while I was doing Timepiece Unplugged, I kind of found myself in the same rut as when I was in Timepiece. You know, Jesse Hernandez, who I love dearly, is, you know, he's in 3 or 4 or 5 original bands, and
mm-hmm.
he's retired. So, you know, he doesn't necessarily have the time to reinvent the wheel with me. And
right.
then we were, at the time, our fifth guitarist was Greg Guidotti, and I managed to get him linked in with the cover band company. And I noticed, you know, he wasn't really at a place where he wanted to keep exploring Timepiece Unplugged, learning new songs. I think Greg's, you know, he came to a place where it's time to explore Greg, you know.
Right.
So that puts me in this finally having the breathing room. You know, that wasn't a frustration as much as it ended up being this gift. Like, wait a minute. I haven't innovated in a while.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm going to write some songs, which I'm doing. People, well, those should start hitting the airwaves pretty soon. We're on the finishing touches of some new material.
Now, how many songs have you written that you're going to record?
I probably have an album's worth, but because I want some of that album to be studioized with everyone in the same room,
mm-hmm.
I'm just going to do the song. I'm recording the songs that I know I can do well remotely with everybody at home. So
you are doing the social distancing where everybody's doing their own thing and mailing
everyone.
Them in.
Yeah,
okay.
yeah, yeah. And the first one that's going to hit, it's called Wasting Time, and it's
not up online or anything.
Not yet. We're okay. just finished. In fact, now I'm the last piece. I have to put the final vocal on it. These guys have all caught up to me at home, and I have to sing the last vocal part, and it's being engineered, and it was co-written by Josh Hetwer, who was in the Cherry Poppin' Daddies,
okay.
and a dear friend of mine. And it's just, it's a great collection. I didn't even use people from the Robbie Celestin Band. I went out and just grabbed all these crazy, amazing players that I've always wanted to work with who are stuck at home,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to be on this track. And it's just a thrill.
So how is the sound? I mean, Cherry Poppin' Daddies is a very distinct
yes.
retro jive sound.
Everything happens in the shower, man. When I get out of the shower, melodies hit me. I keep my phone near the shower. And I came out and I thought of this. And the first thing I thought of was Josh.
Yeah.
I thought, that's the guy. And I came up with some lyrics and started working and then called him up and said, I've got this idea. As soon as I flush it out, you want to write a song? And he said yes, and the rest is history. So it'll be, again, unlike anything anyone's heard me do, yet very very much me. They're going to know it's mm-hmm. me. You know what I mean?
So when will you start playing these songs out? I know you have a gig coming up.
Yeah.
That you said you were going to be doing a lot of covers, but you're going to do different covers. You're going to be learning songs that you've never sang before.
Yeah.
And maybe throwing the new ones in?
Yeah, that's going to be the plan. You know, we're getting that stuff charted so that I can get these new guys. And yeah, the second area of innovation is the new act, because I thought, well, what's... I need something different, but what is different? I didn't know what I needed. And there's two very distinct acts. One you're going to see, you know, in Illinois this coming Friday, and the next one will be here in Northwest Indiana in August 8th. And these are very – it's unlike anything I've seen, you know. Mm-hmm. I might have mentioned this story to you off the mic. I was in Mexico with my wife, Janice, right before the world went insane. Mm-hmm. So we managed to get a vacation in. Wasn't that great, honey, if you're listening? So my beautiful wife and I are on vacation, and we saw Unplugged Night. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. Let's see what's going on. And it wasn't two dudes with a guitar. It wasn't one guy with a guitar. It was somebody, a guitarist, a singer, and a drum kit. But it didn't sound like a band feel. It sounded like this drummer was just vibing so much with the guitarist that it felt like an Unplugged show. But I don't equate drums with Unplugged. Mm-hmm. I filed that in my head and just thought, all right, I'm going to remember that. That's different. And then I was asked to be a guest vocalist at this place called Shanahan's in Woodridge. By the way, whenever the world opens up, go to Shanahan's in Woodridge, Illinois on a Thursday night. These retired and working vocalists, singers, band people show up out of the woodwork, and it's the greatest jam session I'd seen in a long time. And what did I see but a guy named Dave Rice and a guy named Larry Otega, keyboards and drums, and they were locked just like that couple in Mexico that I saw. And I said, guys, I need a new Unplugged act. I think you're it. And they agreed, and that's what we're going to see. You know, but I need a duo, too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're going to love this, Tom. This is what's coming to Northwest Indiana. My friend Sean Summer, who, in my opinion, is the greatest bass player of all time. You've met him. He played in your studio at the Record Bin. He played on that show.
Oh, yeah.
He had
a
stand-up for that one. I've been talking to Sean, who's stellar. You know, when Jewel came to town, her bass player, I think I mentioned this to you on the other show, when Jewel came to town, she had a whole orchestra going to soundstage, and the bass player got sick. And, you know, 5 hours before showtime, they called Sean Summer. He's that guy, you know. I'm talking to Sean, and we're writing a new song. The second song I'm going to release online is co-written by him. And I just started talking to him. What are you doing on this off time? You're stuck at home, too. He says, well, I'm learning guitar. I'm like, you're learning guitar? You're a bass guy, but what do you mean you're learning guitar? Well, I'm kind of learning, you know, guitar on the cover band songs. You know, the songs we do cut in the cover band. I'm like, well, what do you... So if you're learning Jesse's Girl, are you telling me you're just picking up like the rhythm part? Or are you playing the lead in these songs? I'm learning the guitar. So my head explodes and I think, okay, his voicing is probably going to be different since he's a bass player. Just his style is going to be different. He's a stellar musician. And I suggested this duo. I said, man, I'm looking for something unique. Do you have something unique you can throw my way? He said, yeah, let's do a duo. And I said, okay, but I love the looper. For any of you guys who don't know what a looper is, you know, a guitarist can kind of lay down a rhythm track, hit a pedal, and that rhythm track just keeps going, ticka, 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 and then they can solo
play lead
over
it. Yeah.
I think Chad Burton and Greg Guidotti do it better than anyone I've seen in this area. And so I've been spoiled.
I've heard Chad do it.
Oh, great. He's the master. But him, Greg, Aaron Harris is really good at it as well. And I got spoiled with that, so I mentioned to my buddy Sean, well, do you mind using a looper? Oh yeah. I mean, I was the looper guy. I'm like, what do you mean? Yeah, I would have to loop my bass part, go fix a soundboard. Well, I mean, you're looking for something different? I'm like, yeah, I want something different. I don't want to do the same old Unplugged thing. Well, in that case, I mean, if I can loop, I could bring the guitar, keyboard, and the bass, and the crowd will never know what instrument I'm going to play. I'll just loop something and grab something. And my head exploded, Tom. And I thought, there's my unique Unplugged act.
There
so
you go.
Two very unique Unplugged acts.
So how do we know which one we're going to see if we see your name on a marquee?
I think I should start using trio and duo, but the Facebook crowd will know. I'll be very obvious in my description. Mm-hmm. Bottom line, what I'm trying to do, which I enjoy what Lauren Dukes is doing. You know, she puts Lauren Dukes out there, and I think she has five different camps. You know, you never know who she's going to perform with. What I want to promise everybody is if you see Robbie Celestin on the billboard, you're going to hear something really good, really unique, and you really have no idea who I'm bringing to the table that day.
Right.
You know?
Or the songs. Now, let's talk briefly about some of the artists that you've never covered that you want to cover.
Yeah.
Give me a few examples. Well, then we're gonna go back to Voice Prince. I want to hear a song off that album.
It's a combination, Tom, of some stuff I've never performed, like the Leon Bridges. I've never performed that. You know, I thought, well, I'll do a distance.
I just discovered him.
Yeah, that guy. Where's he been? Me too.
Somebody came in the record store and asked for. I said, "Who the hell is Leon Bridges?" I looked it up. I'm like, listen to him. I'm like, damn.
Right. Yeah, it's same thing. Somebody just randomly brought him up to me, and then I caught his stuff. And then he had millions of listens and thought, okay, am I the only one who hasn't caught
on? That's how I felt. Well, now there's two of us.
Yeah.
So you're going to cover Leon. You're going to cover who else?
Well, besides him, you know, even some of the older stuff, you know, Tony Orlando. Why not?
Why not?
My mom loved him, and I thought, well, yeah.
He's a nice guy, too. I've interviewed him.
Really?
I got pictures with him. He's fun.
I mean, at this point, and I was even laughingly thinking, I mean, I'll do a Disney tune in my own way. Why? Mm-hmm. It's just crazy ideas like that. But then, as well, I've been performing at the Redhead Piano Bar when it was open. Mm-hmm. I've done shows with, you know, Greg. I've done shows with David Blixt. I've done all these different shows, and all the different shows had different songs that I thought, oh, that's a good one. Oh, this is a good one. So I'm also trying to do a few songs I've performed in the past, but I'm bringing them together in this one show.
Redhead Piano Bar is mostly jazz. So what kind of stuff are you doing? Like,
oddly enough, it's turned into kind of a give us the hits kind of thing, too.
That kind of disappoints me, because that was a cool place to go for the standards.
Really? Well, you know, what's nice is
I'm thinking Al Jarreau kind of stuff.
Really?
You know? Yeah.
Yeah, I think when you get there, you hear most of the hits, but you can hear some jazz standards. They gave me my own special slot. Nobody was doing what I was doing. I was doing Soulful Sundays late night, you know. But then you learn lessons. You know, I was there and we kind of stuck to that. But then sometimes somebody would ask for something like Benny and the Jets, which I never sang before. And I sang that tune and didn't realize what a kick butt tune this is.
Yeah.
You know, so when I did that, again, I thought, well, let me pull that over. You know, so this Friday I'll be doing Benny and the Jets.
Wow. Which the trio.
Yes, with the trio. No one's ever heard
me do
that.
Where are you playing this Sunday?
This will be a CD and Me, and that's in Frankfort, Illinois.
Okay.
And what I like what they're doing, because I've had long talks with them, because everyone's in a different place with the distancing. So their tables are all distanced. The place is so huge.
Indoor or outdoor?
It's outdoor.
Okay.
I'm on this giant stage, kind of gazebo thing. And the good thing about that place is if 250 people show up, it still looks pretty sparse. So you're social distance there no matter what anyway. It's just such a big place. And then by them giving me this platform, not bringing in a dance band, it allows me to just do more of a concert style feel. So you can sit at the table and chill, enjoy, and it's interactive. I'm more interactive in the unplugged world than I am in the band world. Band world is a little bit of chatting and a lot of dancing, whereas the unplugged world is a lot more chatting and then different arrangements. It's fun. It's a lot of fun, man, you know.
And with that, you're going to do the covers, but you're also going to do the new originals, and you're going to tap into the albums we've been featuring, Every Little Thing, Timepiece, and the one we're going to play, Voice Prince.
Yeah.
You're going to pull selections from each of these?
I'm going to, for this first one on Friday, I'm going to pull in a tune or two that from my past that no one's ever heard before. And then when I come back on the scene, I'll do more of the recent originals. But the recent originals they've been hearing me do for years now.
Mm-hmm.
So instead I thought, well, let me go from the back catalog and try to remember.
So drawing more from Every Little Thing than you are from Voice Prince.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay. Let's play something from Voice Prince. What do we got queued up here?
Is this The Way, I believe? Yeah, The Way. Now, this is the number one download from Voice Prince. So.
All right.
Featuring Janice Celestin.
Ooh, was she your wife then, or just your fiance?
At the end of the song, you'll hear a little Janice doing her thing.
All right. This is Robbie, my guest. Listen up.
To my life so far, you'd think by now I'd be a star. I may be long-winded, but hey, there's just so much I have to say. Maybe lick your lips when you're hungry, maybe drop your head when you're sorry, maybe shake a bit when you're worried. That's just the way. There was a girl that I let go, almost got hitched, but I said no.
tried to hit me with a buzz. Made my whole reputation flop. Her ugly cousin was a cow. I deserve some of it, but hey, it got a little rough, I have to say. Maybe lick your lips when you're hungry. Maybe drop your head when you're sorry. Maybe shake a bit when you're worried. That's just the way. Maybe lick your lips when you're hungry. Maybe drop your head when you're sorry. Maybe shake a bit when you're worried. That's just the way. Welcome to your world tonight. Some countries always want to fight. Why don't we settle it in a ring? Don King can promote the whole thing. We gotta set our lifeline straight. Put in some love, take out the hate. Armageddon can be today. Then there'll be nothing left to say. Maybe lick your lips when you're hungry. Maybe drop your head when you're sorry. Maybe shake a bit when you're worried. That's just the way. Maybe lick your lips when you're hungry. Maybe drop your head when you're sorry. Maybe shake a bit when you're worried. That's just the way. Together for a drink or a few.
That's the way. That's just the way.
The soul, the cheese, the chakra. Oh, everybody's got, everybody's got the way.
Just do what you can do.
Good luck, everybody. Good luck.
Robbie Celestin off Voice Prince. Janice making a little cameo in there as well. And she is a gifted singer,
yes.
Your wife. Why is she not doing more stuff?
You know, it's just, I think the calling, you know, I think she loved it. She was an actress on the stage, and she did a lot of that. And then that's how we met. We toured for with Stormy Weather.
How did she play into that?
She used to be a voice. I gave her voice lessons years ago. Mm-hmm. And then I hadn't seen her for a long time, and Stormy Weather was looking for a young girl. So I gave him a couple names, and I remember Janice.
I didn't know she sang in Stormy Weather.
Yeah. She has a great version of Hello Stranger on one of their CDs.
Wow. You guys need to do more stuff together.
Yes.
When you're talking about the duo, bring her out.
Yeah, she's decided that it just wasn't her thing anymore. You know, she moved on. She's such a wonderful, she's the smartest person I know, mm-hmm. and she's a career person. She could do anything, and
she's a beautiful human being, not just a beautiful
inside
woman
and out.
but a beautiful human being.
Seriously.
I've always enjoyed talking with her.
She's a keeper. She's a fantastic.
You lucked out on that.
I did.
You did. I gotta say, Robbie Celestin is my guest this Sunday. CD and me.
Friday.
Oh, it's Friday. I'm sorry.
Friday night.
Tickets CD and me.
Available.
Right.
Yep.
Frankfurt. Mm-hmm. Tickets available. How do they get them? RobbieCelestin.com and
yes, actually, if you go right to RobbieCelestin.com, all the tickets, there's a link right there, boom, right on the front page. Or you can just go to CD and Me online at CDandMe.com, I believe. But
okay.
Yeah, just find them.
You know Robbie from Timepiece, 5 O'Clock Shadow, the Robbie Celestin Band, Final Say, and now just Robbie Celestin. That's quite a...
Can you tell I'm getting less and less creative with my names as I go on?
And when you're not doing all this vocalizing and singing and writing and producing, you're doing a chatter of fact.
Yes,
a new podcast. I shouldn't even say a new podcast. You've been doing it a couple of years now.
Four years now, I think. Yeah.
So that was it when podcasts were just becoming trendy. You were the first podcaster I knew.
I wish
I don't even think I knew what podcasting was.
Really? Yeah, it's great. And, you know, there was a part of my life that was going to be an actor, an improv guy, or things like that. And I never got to do that. But I worked on the Loop Radio on the Danny Bonaducci show for quite a while.
I knew Danny.
And Danny was an interesting character off the mic.
Oh, yeah. He was an interesting character any time.
Yes. But on the mic, he trained me. He trained me the art of improv. One time he's training me, and the guy next to me was George Wallace, the comedian. And that led into a chatter fact, which I get to utilize those muscles onto a show and talk to amazing people. You know, you know what it's like. You just get amazing people. You know, just talk to...
Just talk.
I just had Claude McKnight from Take Six, and before that, Jim Cregan from the Bare Naked Ladies. And I don't usually aim that high.
Right.
I usually want the local guys.
But you
guys.
Should.
Yeah, well, we're all stuck at home, so I thought, they're going to be home.
I'll reach out.
Yeah. But yeah, they can go to achatterofact.com or anywhere where you like podcasts. They're every platform. A Chatter of Fact, just
how many
go
shows
find
do you think you have now?
53. Well, so our 53rd was recorded today, sir.
I wonder who that's going to be.
Yeah, Mr. Tom Lounges will be on. I think you're about two away. We just did number 50, I think. So,
wow, so soon I'll be.
You'll be. I believe 53. Yes, yeah, it's great. I told Tom already. I'm gonna call you. I want to call in on the day. I don't care who you're having that day. I want to call in to talk about the fact that your podcast will be launching. People, you're gonna hear his story because your job is to get the story out of all of
us.
You know, and it.
And we had some fun today.
Oh,
your brother Paul was shooting pictures, hanging out, and you were being our technical. What's the word I'm looking for? The fact checker?
He was a fact checker.
Yeah, he was.
That's the wittiest guy I know, Paul Celestin.
And Paul's going to be on this show in a week or two, possibly this Friday, maybe the next Friday, because Paul is a filmmaker.
Right.
And we're going to have him on to talk about his pandemic film that he shot as an independent filmmaker. Robbie, we got a minute left. What have we not said? What should we say?
Well, you know, definitely go to robbieselestin.com, and that's everything. You can hear the podcast, you can see the songs, you can see the shows. I might revamp it too at the end of the week after this show, so you can always find me on Facebook, Robbie Celestin, R-O-B-B-Y, not I-E-C-E-L-E-S-T-I-N, for any brand new listeners.
All right. Yeah. Robbie Celestin on Midwest Beat. I'm Tom Lounges. Join us this Friday for another edition, and this will be archived as well at lakeshorepublicradio.org. Leaving you now with Shades of Light.
Shades of Life.
Life.
Yes.
And thank you, Robbie, for joining us.
Your class act, Tom.
RobbieCelestin.com. Adios, everybody.
We've seen the cowards and the bold. Some have been here forever. Some not too long, not too long. We've seen all.